Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because He is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, He is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by His grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to consider His stewardship, Luke chapter 16.
A film team was scouting for the perfect location to film, and as they looked at the script, they realized that they were going to need a beautiful home in the background and a large, luscious lawn in the foreground, and they were looking for a place where they could bring a couple of chase cars right in front of the house, do some donuts on the grass, tear out a few shrubs, hop over into the next yard, and just really create that perfect chase scene. And so they went to the residents of South Florida, to a particular neighborhood, and they began to notice some of the homes that they thought would work for this scene. And they walked up to one resident and they asked if they could use the front yard for this particular shoot. And the residents of the home were so infatuated by the opportunity of having their home on television, they said, yeah, that would be great. And so a few days later, the film crew came in, and sure enough, they began to tear up that lawn and run race cars all around that house. And everything was fine until the neighbor called the owner of the house up in New York. You see, the residents were renters. They were not owners. And the biggest difference between them can be defined in two words, and those words are rights and responsibilities. The owner has the rights, the renter has some responsibilities, and in this case, the renter was not using the responsibility properly. Owners have rights, and stewards have responsibilities. Today, we're going to look at a parable that teaches us about ownership and about stewardship. And as we consider the parable before us, Jesus was walking through the villages and the towns of Galilee, and He was using various parables to teach His disciples concerning the importance of the eternal kingdom. And in the first seven verses of Luke chapter 16, we are introduced to someone called a steward, someone who had not taken his responsibilities well, had not used his opportunities wisely. In fact, he completely forgot his Lord in his life. Notice in verse 1, the Bible says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, just as we get started this morning, if you look there in your outline, you're going to find some preliminary considerations just to lay the groundwork and just to see where we are with respect to Luke chapter 16. The first consideration I want you to see by way of introduction is that we learn in this parable that God is the owner of all things. All blessings come from Him. And so God is the one who gives all gifts to us. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Folks, if you're going to understand stewardship, then we must understand this morning that everything we receive is from the Lord. He's the owner of it all. He's the owner of our children. He's the owner of our of the homes we live in. He's the owner of the cars we drive. He is the one who gives all of these things to us. And this is something that is implied in the parable when we read about the rich man who was the owner of the possessions the steward was to manage. The second introductory remark is that we are the stewards of his blessings. We are the stewards. When you read about the steward, that is us. God has called us to stewardship. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so we see God wants us to wisely steward. The Bible says in verse 11 of our text, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The word mammon there is a Syriac word referring to money. And Jesus is reminding us in this passage of the importance of handling his blessings in a way that is pleasing to him. In other words, folks, as a steward, every one of us are managers of a trust. You say, well, it's not a trust fund of $60 million. No, but every one of us are managers of what God has entrusted to us. And so God is the owner and we are the stewards. And then I want you to notice in this third place that we will give an account for our stewardship. We will give an account for our stewardship. Notice that in verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. Will you say that phrase with me this morning? Give an account of thy stewardship. All right. Here is the owner calling the steward to give an account. Now, folks, all of us one day will give an account of our stewardship. It is mentioned in Romans chapter 4 and verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, folks, the truth is if we don't manage money, money will manage us. And all of us have been given money, we have been given possessions, we have been given privileges and opportunities that God says, now I want you to steward these. These are my gifts to you, but I want you to steward and manage them. And one day God says, we are going to give an account for the way we handle his things that have been given to us. I believe this. If that was your house and you were living in New York, you would not want those stewards of the house running race cars on the front lawn. Why? It doesn't belong to them. And so it is. God says, I don't want you to mess up what I've given to you. I want you to manage it. I want you to steward it wisely. And so let's learn this morning about stewardship. How can we steward this life, the blessings of this life, in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? If you have your outline this morning, let's learn, first of all, the principles of biblical stewardship. What are some of the principles of biblical stewardship? The first principle we mentioned already, it is the principle of accountability. It is that principle found in verse 2 with those words, give an account of thy stewardship. Now, folks, we expect this from everyone else. We get frustrated when our government is not wise and when our state is struggling financially, and we expect stewardship. We want our children to handle their money wisely and drive their cars carefully. We want them to steward what we give to them. And God says, I want you to steward what I have given to you, and I'm going to keep you accountable to that. Live your limited time on this earth with this thought in mind. One day you're going to give an account to God. During these weeks, our church is preparing for the annual audit of our financial books. And in a few weeks, we'll have a very reputable firm that comes in and they go through everything. And they are doing an accounting of our stewardship. And their stamp of approval says the stewarding is wise and according to the standards of the industry. God wants every one of us to be wise. He wants all of us to care for that which He has given to us and to be accurate with His blessings to us. Notice, secondly, there is the principle of responsibility. God says, in light of that accountability, I want you to be responsible with what I have given to you. Now, notice what this steward does beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? Now, the unwise steward had been rebuked. And in essence, God says to him, you have not been wise. So, verse 5 says, he begins to go back out and do his best to collect what he could for the owner, for the man that he had been working for. He had not planned in the past, but now he is disciplined to a plan. And he begins to collect in verses 5 through 8 what he could. He was not collecting 100-fold, but he was at least doing his best given the circumstances. The Bible says in Luke 14:28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You see, God wants us to count the cost. He wants us to consider our plan in stewardship. He wants us to be responsible in stewardship. And this man was required to be faithful in overseeing his master's goods, and yet he had wasted that opportunity. And so now he comes back to the realm of responsibility. Listen to me. There may be someone in this room this morning, and you have not been faithful with your master's goods. He gave you the gift of good credit, and you were not wise with that gift. He gave you a promotion, and you bought new rims for your truck. And instead, you should have done something else. On and on it goes. And every one of us, how many of us would be honest this morning? How many of us could be honest to say, there have been many blessings in my life. Some I have invested wisely, some I have squandered. All right? All of us can look at certain situations, and it's not necessarily an evil. It's something that we must learn from, however. And we must say, how can I be a better steward in this situation? We must be responsible to plan. We must be responsible to act wisely with whatever it is that God has given to us. Notice what it says in verse 8, please. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done, what does the next word say? Wisely. He came to a place where he had done wisely with what God had given to him. Boy, that's a great testimony that he who had once been unwise now had gone back and had been wise, and the Lord commended him for this. The resolve of the steward must be to do wisely with the things that God has given to us. And so there is the principle of accountability. There is the principle of responsibility. Notice thirdly, the principle of priority. The principle of priority. Now, a wise steward has certain priorities that are very, very important to him or to her. And notice the priority, please, in verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, the key to understanding verse 9 is the word everlasting. God is teaching in this verse that we are to learn. In fact, in this text, he teaches that sometimes those that are of the world are wiser with their money than even the disciples of Christ. And he says we are to learn how to invest, making friends of mammon. Why? That they may receive you into everlasting habitation. When we fail or when we die, it should be our desire that we would see people in heaven. That is, that through our proper stewardship, that through our proper investment, through our giving, through the whole realm of stewardship, that there would be people in eternal habitations, that there would be people in heaven because of the way that we steward what God has given to us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 says it this way, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How many of you know that this morning? That if your body dissolved, that is, if you were from ashes to ashes, from dust to dust, if you were no more, if your house was no more, if your car was no more, that you have a house in heaven that does not dissolve. Boy, that's a blessing to know that. And so God says, use your life and your stewardship for that which is eternal. As a Christian uses his wealth for good, he will influence others to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, there is no greater use of money than to help people get to heaven. I'll say that again. There is no greater use of money than helping people get to heaven. I think of our bus ministry here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and last Sunday how 600 young people and some adults came in on those buses. People who came in, many of them who do not have a car, many of them who live in the poorest neighborhoods of this area, and while some would stand on the corner and curse at them and be angry at them because of the crime and because of various situations that they may bring into the community, thank God for members of Lancaster Baptist Church who go with a cup of cold water and who go in the name of Jesus Christ and who invite them to come. Listen, while we're having our dinner this morning, there will be a small army of members from this church teaching those children and taking them back to their homes this afternoon and knocking on their doors on Saturday and loving them. And it is our tithes and offerings that put the gas in those buses and that keep them running. Why? So that young people can have the chance at least to hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I think about a letter I received this week from our missionary, Brother Gary Keck in Papua New Guinea, and how they had 10 baptisms recently in one of the services and how people are coming to know Christ as Savior. I tell you what, it made me thrilled that we're a part of our weekly missions program supporting our missionaries. And you see, when we are wise stewards, then we are eternally investing. This is what the Bible says here in our text in Matthew 6 on the notes there, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God says, I want you to have eternal priorities in this matter of your giving. He wants us to act responsibly. He wants us to act with the right priority of eternity in mind. He wants us to remember Him and to give to Him and to trust Him. I have in my hands this morning my wallet. And I think the wallet really is a good literal illustration of that which belongs to us in an earthly sense. In this wallet, I have my driver's license, I have a family picture, I have a couple of credit cards, and really that's about it. Not very much. I don't like a big fat wallet. But I have in this wallet, I have various representations, if you will, of God's blessing in my life. Now, how many of you have a wallet either in your purse or in your pocket this morning? Most of you should have a wallet with you. Now, I want you to think about your wallet for just a minute. In a moment, I want you to take your wallet out and give it to the person seated right behind you. Why not? You don't trust the person behind you? You don't want them looking at your wallet? All right, you don't have to do that. We won't do that for an illustration this morning. But now think about this wallet for just a second, now that you're awake and worried about someone holding it. And I'm going to say, Brother Furso, will you stand up here for just a minute? I'm going to entrust you with this wallet right here, okay? Now just hold it up for me because I want to see it. I want to see it at all times. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Just keep your hand up. Now, God wants us to use our affluence for eternal influence. He wants us to trust Him with the matter of stewardship. With the debit card, the credit card, the whole thing, God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to make eternity. Could you hold it up a little higher, though, please? Thank you, Brother Furso. I want everyone, just keep your eye on me, but out of your peripheral of your vision, just keep an eye on Brother Furso. And just watch him for me because I don't want to see any unusual charges like Cubs games, things like that, on my wallet. All right, so just keep an eye on it. Now I can treat it that way, or I could say, Brother Furso, just go ahead and put it in your pocket there. All right, just go ahead and put it in your pocket, and there it is. I'm trusting him with it. I've given it to him, and I've trusted him. Now look at God wants us to completely trust Him with our stewardship and to remember Him in eternity. And how many of you say, Pastor, to the best of my understanding, I'm trying to trust the Lord with all of my heart in the way of my giving. Now, I trust the Lord, but I don't trust you, Brother Frisso, so give me that wallet back right here. I'll just hold it for you. Actually, I need it for the next sermon. Thank you very much. The principles of biblical stewardship involve trusting all that we have to the Lord for the purpose of His eternal work. These are some of the principles. Let's notice secondly this morning some of the promises that God gives to us. God says, when you trust me, there's some things I'm going to promise you. There's some things that you're going to learn about giving, because with every promise there is a premise. I want you to see how this works. God says, here's what I want you to do and here's what I will do. Notice this beginning in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now notice, the faithful will be blessed. God says the first lesson I want you to see, the first promise I'm going to give to you, is that the faithful will be blessed. God says, I want you to be faithful with what I have given to you. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. God wants us to be faithful with our responsibilities. I've said this for years. I believe a Christian, I believe a member of Lancaster Baptist Church, ought to be one of the best people at the job site. They're on time, with a good attitude, doing the very best they can, helping the company, saving the company money, being honest with receipts, whatever the case might be. God wants us to be responsible in what He has given to us. He wants us to live with good credit. He wants us to live with a good testimony. He wants us to be responsible in this realm of stewardship, with our responsibilities, with our possessions. May I say to you this morning, I don't know what job you have, but be thankful for it. And it may not be the one God has for you forever, but I am a firm believer in this fact. God wants us to be thankful for what we have and for where we are in life before He blesses us further. I remember in our old building downtown at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard, it was an older building, things were always breaking. We had one toilet in the men's restroom, and we had several days of 1,700 people in that church. And I'm telling you what, when a strain of the flu came through, there could be a line getting into that restroom. It was an amazing thing. There were other shortcomings of that facility. We had just a few parking spots. But you know what? We never complained about it. It was an exciting place. We were excited that God had given it to us. It was His house, and we just did the best with what we had. I don't know what you have today, but I want to tell you something. Be thankful for it. Be faithful. Be thankful for your car. Be thankful for the things God has given to you. God says, I want you to be faithful in your responsibilities, faithful with your possessions. He that is faithful in the least will then be faithful with the most. God says, I want you to be faithful. I'm always tickled with folks who say, you know, if I ever win the lottery, I am going to really give to the church. No, you won't. If we're not faithful when we have little, we'll not be faithful when we have much, you see. God says, be faithful with what you have. That leads us to the third thought, be faithful in your giving. It is a tragedy when a man does nothing because he can't do much. God says, do what you can. Verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If we're not faithful in the small things, how can God give us greater spiritual blessings or even material blessings? God says, I want to bless you, but I want you to be faithful with what you have. That's the principle of Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. God says, I want you to shovel it out and I'll shovel it in. And I like what the old farmer said years ago. He said, God shovels it in and I shovel it out. God shovels it in and I shovel it out. God shovels it in and I shovel it out. Then he said, and you know what, preacher? God has a bigger shovel than I do.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life to save you from your sin. Trust Him as your Savior and claim His gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chapel as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chapel is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chapel, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.